Welcome back to the podcast. It has been a little while. Obviously, we haven't had much to talk about, given that there are no new Butt Stuff Barbie releases recently. I think our last thing was I Did It for Attention, which didn't get an episode. But since she's dead, there wasn't much to talk about.
Lucky for you guys, we do have something on the horizon. We have our first ever Halloween EP coming very soon, although I'm sure at the time of hearing this, it'll already be out.
Yeah, we are recording this right after watching the Met Gala when we got bored. So now you guys will know what we were doing. So anyway, as you already know by now, the title of the EP is Super Monster, and there are five tracks on it.
Yes, and even though this is one track shorter than any of the EPs that we've done so far, it is somehow still the same like song length overall. Like it's still 22 minutes like the other two EPs.
Yes, we did manage to hit it right at about that same length, which I am very proud of us for doing, even though we didn't really do it intentionally. It just kind of happened that way.
Yeah, a lot of the shit on this EP kind of happened unintentionally. We didn't really have like as big of a plan going into it this time like we normally do, so it's really interesting how all of this kind of took shape.
I think this one is really going to be an interesting one that it indicates some new directions for DJ Butt Stuff Barbie as a project. So I guess we should start into the background of this whole EP. It started off with actually me kind of pushing for it way, way back, like before we even had the concept for a second EP. I was writing stuff for this one. The earliest songs, they didn't make it onto the final product. Trying to remember what the titles of some of those earlier ones were. I think the very first one was Witch on Trial or Fucking with the Devil.
Yeah, those were two of the really early ones. I think Suck It was another really early one that you had sent me.
Yeah, I think it was Fucking with the Devil was first, and then Suck It, and then the initial concept for Haunted Heart was number three. We wrote a lot for this EP. Well, like honestly, I wrote a lot for this EP because I was really excited about
Yeah,
it,
you wrote a
just
lot.
conceptually.
Yeah.
I was kind of forcing it for a long time, and you were like not about it early on, even though I like knew you were going to be into it once we got to it. But yeah, it was definitely me who was the driving force initially.
Well, and part of the issue at the time was because, like, when we had started working on I Do It for Attention, I had kind of felt that there was, like, a weird kind of shift away from, like, more of the, like, camp that I was kind of used to going into Butt Stuff Barbie. And so I remember thinking when you mentioned, hey, let's do a Halloween project, I originally wanted to do, like, a really campy Halloween EP. But then somewhere down the line, as we were going back and forth with more song ideas, the ones that started making the final cut were not campy at all, and I kind of like gave up on that idea. And instead, we went for more of like a plot driven, like the revenge of Butt Stuff Barbie kind of thing. And I really think that that was for the better overall.
Yeah, I definitely tend to agree based on the final product because I think it is very good
Yeah.
as a project.
Oh, yeah.
At this point, I have just realized that we have not gone through the track list track by track yet. So, track one is the title track, Super Monster. Track two is Sexecution. Track three is called The Call. Track four is Haunted Heart. And track five is Hellfire Super Monster Remix.
This was a fucking crazy EP to work on. Like,
It was so quick too. We really just like slammed through it.
yeah, which is weird because like the attention to detail in the production, especially in the first two songs, is like off the charts. Like, I don't know how I was cranking this shit out as fast as I was.
Yeah, you really went kind of like balls to the wall, especially those first two with
Yeah.
how multi-layered they are.
And it started with Sexecution because we had, or well, I had tried to produce Hellfire like really early on and it was just shit. Like it wasn't really going anywhere good. The instrumental that I was working with at the time really wasn't all that great. So I shifted gears and started working on Sexecution because I think at the time that was the one that we had like really like fleshed out a little more beforehand. And I think when I sent you like the first draft that I had made, you were like, it's good, but it's not spooky. Like, it's not giving enough Halloween. And that was what kind of pushed me to start throwing like everything that I could think of in there to give it that like spookier edge. And I feel like if we hadn't have done it that way, the EP would have been completely different.
You're probably right in that assessment. I think those first two really decided the direction in which we were going
Yeah, big time.
because I think they are very much the showpieces, I guess, of this project as a whole. So basically the workflow on this one was Sexecution was like first, and we got like most of the way through that. Then Super Monster was started pretty soon after that. Then into it was Haunted Heart next.
Yeah, it was Haunted Heart first, and then, or
Okay.
yeah, Sexecution, Super Monster, Haunted Heart.
And then Hellfire, and then at the very end of it, that was when we made the call. That one was actually not planned to be on this project because we didn't even have the idea for it until like we thought we were done with what was going to be a 4-track EP.
Yeah, it was supposed to just be four tracks originally, and then, after we finished it, and I was like, oh, thank God, like it's done and in the can. You had said, because we finished it, what, like, I think like the second or third week of August? Like, we really had
It
it
was
done.
super early. Yeah.
You had said, hey, like, we have the time to fit in like a fifth track if you wanted to. And at the time, I think I was just like, no, like, I want to leave it as is. I don't want to do too much. But then,
Yeah, you had kind of poo-pooed it at the time, and
yeah.
I was like, do you want to maybe use like one of the ideas we didn't use? Like, your initial plan for this EP. The first track list was like it had a song called Television Static, which was going to be an interlude, and
Yes.
like a song called Unwrapped, which was about like fucking a mummy. So I was like, you want to use one of those?
Well, and I think that I had told you like they didn't like quite fit because I think they were a little too campy to go with the tracks that we had written. Because this
Exactly.
EP is more serious. I mean, it's not so serious, but it takes itself a little more seriously than anything else that we've done. Yeah, you had mentioned doing a fifth track, and at the time I said no, but I think it was what, like a week later, I came around and was like, we're doing a fifth song. Here's what we're doing.
Probably not even a week later. I would say maybe like 5 days later, you turned around and said, "Hey, I have this idea." And at first, when you explained it to me, I was like, "I don't get it. Like this doesn't seem like quite it." And you said, "No, trust me. This is the one."
Yeah.
And I let you go for it.
Yeah, because it was equal parts like you knew, yeah, you didn't know like exactly how I wanted to go about it, but you knew why I was doing it. And it was like it was just kind of this big confusing moment of it was just kind of you were really uncertain of it because you felt like I was kind of gonna go a little too far with it. And you were
Yeah,
like,
I kind
let's
of thought you were gonna like maybe unbalance the EP as we had it so far, because it was very much like two halves,
Yeah.
and this was probably gonna be like mixing that up a little bit. But ultimately, it ended up kind of being the bridge between the two halves.
Yeah, 'cause you wanted like something just like short and simple, like I think you exact like said exactly like a good like streaming length kind of song.
I
And
think I did say that, yeah.
yeah, and then we topped out with a song that's under 3 minutes, which I hate, but I also really love, because even though it's a really short song, it packs such a punch in it that it doesn't need to be longer than it is.
Exactly. So I guess we should start going track by track on this.
Yeah.
So let's start with Super Monster.
Fun fact about this song, originally the instrumental was going to be used for another mix of I Shit Myself in a Grocery Store. That was how it started
Yes, that
out.
is true.
Instead of the heart monitor at the beginning, it was supposed to be like a grocery store, like the checkout, like the scanner, like the little beep that's what it was originally. And I had sent it to you, and then I think you, like, right away, you were like, no, this screams super monster. Like, that track specifically, you were like, this is what we have to use it for.
Yeah, it was very soon after I had come up with that chorus that "Take me dead or alive, I'm your super monster."
Yeah.
Like, and I was kind of very much still in that headspace of thinking about that. And when I was hearing all these instrumentals, like some of them were jumping out, and some of them I was like, "Yeah, that should be on an I Shit Myself mix."
Yeah.
But that one in particular was very obviously like, okay, this is kind of like the dark, sexy vibe we need for Super Monster.
See, and when you told me that, I didn't get it at first. Like, you were talking about how it was like kind of spooky and dark, and I was like, I'm not getting that at all here. But I still like I set it aside for Super Monster and thought, okay, like I'll play with it, whatever. But like the more I worked on it like finally clicked with me what it was exactly that you were going for with that.
And I think Super Monster as a whole came out like right on the money. So much what I envisioned for that song, probably mostly because of how the instrumental came together.
Yeah, and it took me a good while to get that instrumental together. I think it was what, like seven different versions of the chorus that I sent you before you finally said, yeah, this is the one.
It was a lot, yes. We
Yeah.
definitely went back and forth on that one.
Yeah, I played with that instrumental so many times and was sending him so much stuff. And a lot of them I really loved, and I'd send it to him and he'd be like, no, that's not it.
There would always just be like one tiny thing that was off.
Which, another fun little thing, most of the tracks that I tried to use for the chorus originally, we ended up using for the dance break halfway through the song.
Yes, that is true.
I reused a lot of that stuff because I was like, this is because I think it was one of the early demos of it. I think I had just finished doing like the second chorus and the song was already at 4 minutes. And you were like,
Yes.
what if we just make it really long? And so I kind of pushed it out a little more and we threw in the dance break and everything. And I went into it thinking, what the fuck am I gonna put here? Like, I don't know what I'm doing.
And there was all this back and forth between us about like what kind of like spooky vibes are we trying to cultivate? And you were just like shouting out things, and I was shouting out things, and then it was just kind of like this frenzy. And then like an hour later, we had.
Yeah. That breakdown, like a lot of the effects, the little sounds in there, like it really helps tell a story without ever actually saying anything, which is part of the reason why I love that break so much, because it bangs, but it also kind of it progresses the song still.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I imagine this one is going to remain our longest song for at least a little while.
Yeah.
I can think of one from the next one that might outstrip it in length,
I
but
can think of a
we haven't gotten there
couple.
yet, so we'll see.
I'd imagine a couple are gonna do that, but you're right. We'll see once we get to that. But
Yeah, I'm just thinking of one in particular.
but I mean, my openers are always I always produce them in a way that they're like one of the strongest tracks on a project because you have to start with on a good note, you know?
Yeah, it's like that whole philosophy of putting the singles at the front so you draw people in. It makes
Exactly.
sense.
But I wholeheartedly think that this is my best opener to date.
That's probably fair.
It's just so good.
Next up, we have Sexecution.
I think this was the first one that you had sent me that I was like immediately drawn to. Like from the title alone, I was like, we have to use this. Like this has to be
It was
used.
like an I love this immediately. I remember that.
Yeah.
And this was back in like February or like March. It was early.
Yeah, this was one that you had sent me very, very early on, and you sent me the lyrics and like your ideas for it, and I immediately fell in love with it. And I think this was the first song on the EP that I like made an instrumental demo like specifically for this song. When we first started out, I think it was after we finished doing I Do It for Attention. I just kind of started like throwing together some instrumentals. And I think that the one we ended up using for Haunted Heart was the only one of those early instrumentals that actually got used. Everything else was like not quite right. But yeah, Super Monster, or not Super Monster's Execution was the first one that I sat down and was like, okay, like I need to get into the headspace of this song and figure out what it is that we're going for. And the early instrumental demo isn't like too different from the final. There's just like more shit going on in the final version, obviously, but yeah, I think I nailed it on the head like pretty early on.
Yeah, I think that was the one that I really felt like, okay, we're getting somewhere when you sent me the first two versions of that. And then, of course, I had to ruin it by making you change the speed of like every third line individually.
Yeah, I had to edit so many of the vocal tracks. It was so annoying because I'd send him a demo and he'd be like, "You need to fix this line, this line, this line." And I'm like, "Are you fucking kidding me?"
No, like I recall at one point I sent like 12 lines to fix it once and they were not consecutive. It was like all over the song. It was really funny at
It
the
was
time.
so annoying. I remember when we like finished this song, you were like, "This is the magnum opus of the EP." And then I cracked my knuckles and like cranked out Super Monster and was like, "Really? Guess what?"
Yeah. I have trouble deciding between the two, which is better.
I might be biased, but I think Super Monster is the better of the two. But I remember the day specifically that I was like working on Super Monster, because, or not Super Monster, fuck, Sexecution. I was working on Sexecution because my roommate had company over that day, like while I was trying to work on the song, and they were like, "What are you doing?" And so I'm like playing them this stuff. And yeah, because I remember later in the day when I like finally figured out like the little thing with the clock tick that kind of added like
Yes, yes, yes. That was a big moment.
that like perfect amount of detail. He was like, "Did you figure it out?" And I was like, "Yeah." And all it fucking took was a clock tick. That was it. 'Cause I tried
Zen,
so
his
much
power.
shit. I tried so many things and nothing was like right. Like it was either too much or it was like out of place, but I just out
Yeah,
of
there was so
nowhere.
much like sharpening knives or like bell sounds. It was just not working.
Yeah, but I like I And I don't even know what it was about the clock tick that just felt right, but it was. And that
It
was.
added an urgency to it, I
It
think.
does, yeah. Because, like, that part of the pre-chorus into the chorus, like, it kind of speeds up a little bit right there, it feels like. And so having that little tick kind of makes you feel like you're kind of being rushed.
Exactly. And I think the most important thing on cracking this song was getting that pre-chorus in there, because the initial version had just been the verses straight into the chorus, pretty much like verbatim from the original lyrics. So the "now I'll sit back and I'll remember," or more correctly, "I'll dismember," that part we added together. And it was like a really collaborative moment for us, I think. Like one of the more collaborative moments of writing that we've ever done, I feel like, because we were both like going back and forth on that, like this needs something. And then like both of us just like had the couplet. I was the first half, you were the second half, and
Yeah.
it just like it worked and it hit exactly right.
Yeah, 'cause I remember like that second part of the pre-chorus, the whole "There's no devils" thing. I sent that to you like I think maybe like a week or two before I actually like sat down to work on Sexecution, 'cause I had written it and sent it to you. I was like, "Ooh, maybe we should use this for this song," and we like never stuck it in there anywhere. But when you said, "Hey, we need to do a pre-chorus," and you sent me like that first little bit, I thought, "Ooh, that would actually pair really nicely with it." And kind of give it like a little more like very like powerful kind of Jennifer's Body kind of vibe to it that the song has.
It really just came together in me once we added that and like really got that ticking sound in. And yeah, I think both of the first two are like really good. So let's move on to the call.
I don't know if I'll ever be able to like really explain why, but I just really love this song. I know that you said it was like 4 out of 5 in your personal ranking, but I fucking love this song so much. Just everything about it, I just really love it.
I think it has your like batshit energy to it, very much so. And it was kind of written in a manic state in like 20 hours. So that probably has something to do with it.
Yeah, I cranked this one out in what, like 2 days, I think. It was done really quickly.
It was quick, yeah.
'Cause like I was just in that headspace to write this song. 'Cause I had sent you like I think the original working concept was "The call is coming from inside the house." And you told me,
Yes.
first of all, that title is too long. And second, it was like a Scream reference in itself, so we really leaned into that. And I was like actually watching like the opening scene of Scream while I had like GarageBand open and I'm like writing lyrics. Like I'm literally watching the scene and like writing it down like to use for the song.
Yeah, I also made Morgan watch the Scary Movie like parody version of it, and I think that also helped because it added the like campiness
It
factor.
did, yeah. But this was, God, this was just such a fun one to write. And I think that this one has like a lot of urgency to it. Like it's really quick and it has a lot of drive to it. Like it kind of makes you feel that sense of urgency of someone is in the house watching you. Like someone is out to get you.
There are a lot of like really good one-liners in this
Oh
song.
yeah, there are.
And while I think for me the instrumental is like a little underworked compared to the rest of the stuff on this EP,
Yeah.
it's the lyrics really do like stand out as I think particularly biting in this case.
Oh yeah, there is a lot of bite to this song. But I think the way, 'cause originally it wasn't on the EP, like we finished the first four tracks that we had and it was just kind of like Sexecution into Haunted Heart, and to me like it felt a little weird having like this big moment of I'm gonna have sex with you and kill you into this kind of slower, more drawn out kind of reveal of the villain. So like wedging the call in there last minute really kind of helps transition into that a lot better.
Yeah, and especially with that, there's a gapless transition at the end from the call into Haunted Heart,
Yeah.
which I think helps with that.
Yeah, and especially thematically, how there's like this big rushed moment of, you know, I'm, you know, coming right up behind you, I'm gonna get you into this. It feels like it kind of drops all of that urgency and it's like all eyes on the villain. It's a good kind of build up into the big reveal.
Yeah, I'm definitely r right there with you on that point. So I think that's pretty much all we got on that. I mean, like, I guess we could talk about like how we reworked the end lines a lot, but that's not very interesting. It was just like a lot of back and forth on some particularly specific verbiage. But yeah.
Because we knew we wanted to do an outro instead of like a bridge or like a final chorus or anything. And I sent you like what I had written, and then you like completely rewrote the whole thing based on what I sent you. And I was just like, okay, yeah, I'll just take this wholesale.
So next up, we have Haunted Heart.
This was one I remember like after finishing like Super Monster and Sexecution and the way that those two were like so detailed, so layered, and just like really bombastic track. I think you were like very comfortable with having like just those two being like the big moments and then everything else could just kind of be whatever. But I was determined to turn this song out because I loved the instrumental demo so much that I refused to let it go to waste.
Yeah, and ultimately I think you did prove me wrong on that one. Like I was willing to let this one be like kind of eh, or like not necessarily like shitty, but like lesser, definitely.
Yeah.
And it has a lot of interest to it in a way that I did not expect it would, because the initial version of this song was just first verse and chorus. Did we use the exact first verse as is? I don't remember.
It's very similar. I think I tweaked a couple of the lines to like fit the phrasing better, but for the most part, yeah, it is pretty similar to the first draft that you had written.
And then the chorus is like verbatim,
Yeah.
which I'm glad it is because I was very proud of that when I wrote it. The like constant back and forth on those ghost references.
Oh yeah.
And like particularly I'm the mayor in the Imbrium where moonlight falls, the chaos starts.
I love that
For those who
line.
don't know, that's a reference to the Mare Imbrium, which is a crater on the moon. But it's also a reference to the mythological creature, the Mare, which like feeds on dreams.
Yeah, everything about this is very like it's just so well written. But it was another case of like our typical writing structure where you'll do like the first verse and the chorus and then I'll come in and usually write like a second verse and bridge and you'll go in behind me and kind of tweak it a little bit to fit the original vision.
Yes, very much so. And I think in this case, maybe I didn't give you the best roadmap because the first verse is very non-specific in what I wrote, and that was probably our biggest issue in trying to crack it. Everything we do is kind of a little bit twisted in some way and like defies your expectations. And this one was played very straight in the first half, which gave us issues when trying to figure out what to do with it. But I think you came up with a very novel solution.
Yeah, because like looking at a lot of the original lyrics where it feels very like revenge based. It's like, ooh, I'm getting back at this person who has wronged me in some way. We didn't really have a specific reason going into it. And it was we kind of went back and forth on a couple different ideas, but nothing felt like big enough to justify a track like Haunted Heart until I think it was me that said, "What if someone fucked her dad?" Like, what if it was like someone turned the tables on her and she's pissed?
Yeah, you said that, and then immediately I turned around and wrote a line that I believe made it into the song, like the "You can't fuck daddies, that's my job."
Yeah, that one, yeah. Which I feel like gave it like that typical like butt stuff Barbie kind of spin on things.
Yeah, it was the energy we were missing up to that point.
Yeah, because like the first half of the song takes itself like way too seriously. Like it feels like a proper like villain like coming to get you because you have done something so horrible to them. And then we kind of turn it a little bit into, you know, why are you doing this? You fucked my dad. Like it's funny. It, you know, I feel like that's a moment where you're gonna get like so into this song when you first hear it and you're like, oh my God, wow, this is crazy. Oh, that's why? Oh my God. Like, I feel like it kind of comes out of nowhere is the best thing. Because we kind of hide that fact until the second verse.
Yeah, I think it's for the better that way. It
Oh, yeah.
comes off as more of like a wham line when we drop that.
Yeah. And I mean, even in the bridge where it's like, you solicited my dad, you'll pay with your life. Like, that's funny.
Definitely. This is like probably the funniest one on this EP.
Which is funny because it's supposed to be like the biggest, kind of like the biggest moment of the EP, I guess, because this is the moment that like resolves everything. This is the big
Exactly.
cathartic moment, and we kind of ruined it a little bit, which makes it perfect.
Well, like I was saying, the fact that it's like a little bit twisted, I think that makes it correct.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, this is probably a good time to bring up the point that our initial concept for this EP was to be sort of like not canon, but we dropped that pretty early on. And this is now like softly canon. Well, I'll get into it more when we talk about the next track, I think.
Because I think it was me originally that had said, you know, as far as I was concerned, it was kind of like sort of like an alternate ending, I guess, where it was kind of like she goes to hell in the end. But the more that we worked on it, the more that I was kind of less satisfied with that idea. And we did some back and forth because, I mean, at the time it was still like a fairly vague thing. Like we hadn't really nailed it down quite yet. But we.
Yeah, like we had four of the songs, but we didn't have them like completed and fully fleshed out. We had their concepts, basically.
Yeah, and we still didn't have like a grip on like the overarching like how does this fit into everything? But we like went back and forth about it, and we actually kind of figured out how to shape it in a way that helps us move forward.
This is also a good time to bring up the abandoned concept I had of if we did another EP as like a sequel to this, if it was non-canon, then my idea for next year was for it to be like an evil twin of DJ Buttstuff Barbie
Oh,
comes back
yeah.
and she gets like split into good and evil. And I thought that would have been fun, but Morgan said no, so that's not happening.
Well, see, I thought that it like could have been fun, but the thing is like if you take the like evil out of Buttstuff Barbie, who is Buttstuff Barbie, you know?
Exactly. I don't know. I thought that there was like, I think there's still a kernel of a good idea there. Maybe like one song worth, not a
Yeah.
full EP worth, but the idea of like Super Monster 2, The Revenge of Evil Buttstuff Barbie, was just funny to me.
It is funny, yeah.
Anyway, on to Hellfire Super Monster Remix.
I just want to say this track was produced very intentionally, I am aware of what I have done.
Come out with it.
I am aware that this is not a very good song, okay? I know. It was intentional. It was intentional, I swear. Like, it bugs me listening to that song, because, like, every time I listen to it, I think, God, this could have been, like, so much better than it was. Like, doing a trap song, like, I could have done better. But the point was that it is supposed to be an unsatisfying ending to this EP. It's
Okay, a
intentional.
little more than that. It's a little beyond that. It's also a parody of a certain German singer-songwriter girl
Who
who makes Halloween music.
that is also over shitty trap beats.
Yeah.
It's camp, okay? Hellfire is
Yeah.
camp.
Anyway, should we talk about the fact that it's the Super Monster remake?
Yeah,
Because we
this is
didn't release the original.
yeah, the original is not out there. I wonder why that is. Again, this is intentional. We have plans. We have tricks up our sleeves. Oh.
Yeah, so this is a good time to mention that actually. So I came up with Hellfire for the album a
Yes.
while ago, and eventually we were just kind of spinning our wheels on the Halloween stuff. This was early on, before we really had a track list. It was still like Unwrapped and Graveyard Shake and like a bunch of stuff that didn't make it that was on our tentative track list.
Yeah.
And one of the things I was doing was kind of looking through our ideas we hadn't used yet. And one of those was Hellfire, which was, I had a very specific idea in mind for it, for the album. But I realized that I could kind of twist it and make it like a double meaning and have it kind of work for the EP as well. But because of that, it required us to release the remix before the original. At the time of recording, the original is not like properly made, but we have grand designs for it.
Yeah, there is a plan. We have talked about it. Yeah, this is an alternate version of a track that we have planned for the album, and I promise that the album is coming soon. Not soon, eventually. We're
Yeah, I wouldn't say soon.
getting to it, okay? I know that we have been swearing up and down that we've been talking about doing an album for almost a fucking year now, but we are getting to that, I swear. The album is coming.
Yeah, the issue with the album is that we have planned and planned and replanned over and over,
So many times.
and I think we are finally at a place where we are happy with where the track list is, so we are finally going forward on it.
Yeah, because going into it, like working on Roadhead, we were like, yeah, we're going to do this EP and then we're going to do the album. And then the album didn't happen. And we did a second EP. And then we were like, we're going to do the album. And then we did the Halloween EP. And now we're going to do the album, I promise. Okay.
Oh, you also forgot the re-release, because that took time.
Well, that was like another week or two after I Do It for Attention. That wasn't too much more time taken away from that, but
Well, the fact that we rolled it into the I Do It for Attention kind of writing time, and I was like, okay, you're not allowed to release this EP until you have the re-release tracks ready as well, that was kind of like a factor.
yeah, he literally held me at gunpoint over that. He was like, no, finish the other shit first. But yeah, so Hellfire is a very interesting track because there's a lot of layers to it. It is a remix of a song that is going to go with the album that we are going to do. It is also a parody of a certain artist's music because she also likes to do Halloween music over shitty trap beats. Because when we first mentioned that we were going to be doing Halloween music, everybody said, oh, like this person. So I thought, fuck it, we will give them that moment. So there you go. There is your moment centered around a certain
And it's the
artist.
worst song on the EP.
Yes, but it was not produced by a sexual abuser, so you're welcome. It's still better.
Yes, thank God.
Yeah. I guess the point that I'm trying to make is it was produced intentionally. We are aware, okay? Don't come for us. We know. And we're sorry, but it will all make sense in time, I promise.
It will be recontextualized eventually.
Yeah. But My whole thing was because lyrically, this song sounds very, it gives closure because it's basically her saying, okay, my soul is moving on. I've done a lot of fucked up shit. Time to go to hell. It feels like we're closing the book. So I wanted the remix to be not good. So that way it would feel like a very unsatisfying ending. I wanted people to think, wait a minute, this is it? Like, this is how it ends. Because it's not how it ends. This is more of a lead up into how it really ends, because the album is going to be the final chapter of this whole story that we have been building.
Like, obviously, there are plans well beyond this first album. Like, it got to the point where we were starting to talk about album three and four.
Yeah, and four. Yeah, we are very far ahead of ourselves a lot of times, but.
We have set limits on ourselves for now, because there is too much content for LP2, and like, we don't have everything set for that. LP1 is like pretty much we know what we're doing, so we
Yeah.
have our roadmap, we just have to follow it. Do you want to give any teases yet of the album?
I will say that the ending of Dickmatized, certain lyrics were very specifically written to lead into the album. So
Okay, that's fair.
I have been leaving you guys crumbs for a long time, and no one has picked up on it yet, but to be fair, they're very vague.
And I'll say that some of the things I have said about the album have been intentionally misleading. I have been
Yeah.
lying to you about certain parts of it.
But the thing is, the plot of the album is so specific and so fucking crazy that, in all honesty, I could tweet like the plot of the album and no one would fucking believe me. They would just think I'm shit posting.
Exactly.
It's
No, like, you
so
have
crazy.
tweeted so many things that are like directly from the album, and no one's
Yes,
noticed. They just think
because.
you're talking shit.
They think I'm shit posting and it's so funny. There was one tweet. I will give you guys this hint. We are recording this on September 13th, okay? I tweeted something on September 10th. I tweeted something that day that is a reference to the album, okay? That is a pretty generous hint though.
Yeah, it will give them specific information.
Yes.
What else can we say about the album? We have tentatively like two singles planned, I think.
Yes.
We know the lead for sure,
Absolutely.
and that's probably going to be the first thing we work on.
Yeah. I will say this. This album is probably going to take me quite a while to produce, because my plan is to do a lot of original composition, which I have not really been doing previously. So that is going to be me exploring a lot of new territory. So be patient.
Exactly.
I will pour blood, sweat, and tears into this to make sure that it is good enough to be put out because, like I said, this is the big finale of this whole story. Like, I can't drop the ball now. Like, it has to be good. And it's gonna take me a lot to make it as good as it needs to be, but I promise you that we are going to fucking do this.
And in the meantime, we do have some other small things planned.
Yes, this will not be the last time you hear from us by the end of the year. I will say that.
Yeah, I would say happy holidays. I don't know, something like that.
God, this album is gonna be just monumental. I'm kind of scared to do this album. There's a lot that we're gonna have to do.
I know, it's really going to be an undertaking, I think. And I'll be curious to see which ones end up being like the masterpieces of this, 'cause we both have expectations that are quite similar, I think.
Yeah.
And if we can't meet them, this can be some issues.
I know, and that's like the scariest thing. And you and I had this conversation, but it really is a good thing that we kind of got sidetracked the way that we did. Because if we had done Roadhead and then the album, which at the time was not this,
It really wasn't.
it wasn't any of this. At the time, we didn't even have a concept at the time. Like, we just kind of knew what sound we were going for, and we had the one track that kind of led us in that direction.
So yeah, the album version one was going to be Porn Dreams, and that song is not even on the album anymore.
Yeah, that song got cut from the album like very early on.
Yeah, like quite early.
But if we had done Roadhead and then gone straight into an album, especially an album of this nature, that album would not have been good.
It would have been like honestly quite bad, actually. Derivative in the worst ways.
Because, I mean, every one of these projects has been a serious learning curve for me, and so it's a good thing that I've really had the time to figure out like how to actually do all this shit before I go into what is going to be like the big finale.
Exactly. And let's just put it out there into the universe that when we say finale, we mean just the finale of this extended narrative that we have created. Like the album after this is still, it's still a thing. Like it's still happening, definitely. We have too much content not to do it. But it's not probably going to be as self-reinforcing as far as like a narrative.
The first album is the end of this like plot line. It's the end of the story that we have been building from the very beginning. But it is not the end of DJ Butt Stuff Barbie. We still have more projects we're gonna do. I mean, we're already talking about, albums 2, 3, and fucking 4. Like, we're not stopping
Exactly.
anytime soon. It's just that we're finally getting to a point where we're gonna stop building this long, drawn-out story. We're gonna close that chapter and move on and do something a little different. And it's gonna be fun.
And I think that'll be good for us because it puts us in a different headspace. Because with all these new album tracks, for the second album, I have been writing more with the thoughts of like, I just want to write something that's really funny on its own and can stand
Exactly.
alone and doesn't have to be part of anything larger. Like a couple of them are could be connected if we wanted to, but we're not like relying on this song to support this song, which supports this song. But the first album is very much in that vein, so we have to get this out of the way first.
Sorry, I'm looking at some of these titles and I'm like losing my shit. These are fucking funny. Like, just titles alone, these are fucking great. Oh,
Yeah,
God.
no, some of those I'm very proud of, just like even conceptually.
Like, so.
Oh God, that second to last one on LP2. I'm very excited to make that one.
God, I know. God, I know. Oh, man. Some of these songs are gonna get us into trouble. I can just tell. But, I mean.
Some more than others, I would say.
But to be fair, ACAB did not make any noise, so I feel like we're good. If that went under the radar, I think we're okay.
Exactly.
I really wanted that song to like get conservative hate. I really wanted like that Fox News moment.
Yeah, you were dreaming there, honey.
I know, but it would have been really funny.
It would have, but
God.
as Hilary Duff said, this is what dreams are made of.
I hate you. All right. Well, anyways, I think that that is a good stopping point on all this madness. Otherwise, we're just gonna keep teasing shit all night.
Yeah, and I'm probably gonna have to cut so much of this stuff out because we overdid it.
As we tend to do.
For those who were not aware, in the I Do It For Attention podcast, we accidentally referred to it as I Did It For Attention several times, and I had to cut it out because that was the next one. And yeah, that was an issue.
Yeah, at the
So,
time, people didn't know we were doing a repackage, and we were like, oop, shit.
yeah. Thankfully, I don't think there were any of those accidental Freudian slips this time.
No, we were
But
really
I
good
will have to
about
re-listen and see.
it. Yeah.
All right, so I think that covers it. Let's say goodbye to the people. Bye.
Bye.